If you mere, grab your favorite squeeze and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there or be square.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
All right, and this is Betty Daniels. I want to welcome my listening audience to Impact. And with us, we have Steve Warden. And Steve, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little about what you represent?
I'm Steve Warden from the Dearborn Fire Department. I've been there 21 years. I'm the chairman of our charity, the Dearborn Firefighters Burn Drive, and we raise money for burned and sick kids and families in need.
All right, now that is something that I thought was something for the firefighters. Is it for the families of the firefighters or just children in need in general?
No, all the money that we raise, none of it goes to the fire department or the firefighters themselves. It's for burned and sick children and families in the community in need.
Oh, okay. Now, how long has this been going on?
It's been in existence for over 50 years, and we hold various fundraisers throughout the year to raise our funds.
Okay. Now, can you give me a little history of how it came about?
Yeah. Around 30, 40, well, over 50 years ago, we had... let me start that one over.
No, keep on talking.
Okay. Yeah, over 50 years ago, we had a couple guys go to a burn conference to learn about burn injuries for kids and adults. And when they came back, they were so impacted, they decided that they wanted to raise some money for this cause. So we started raising money for area burn centers. That's how it started.
All right. Okay, now when you say area burn centers, which centers do you support?
Well, U of M Burn Center, Detroit Receiving. We also donate heavily to Pennington School for Blind Children. That's in Taylor. Mm-hmm. Also, the Ronald McDonald House of Michigan. The Center for Exceptional Families, that's in Dearborn. That's part of Beaumont.
Okay. You know, I'm listening to you go down this list, and it's as if the firemen don't have enough to do.
Right. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Most of it's done on our off time, so it takes a lot of work and commitment.
Okay, and he's saying off time. This is a fireman. When do you help?
Well, actually, we do have quite a bit of off time. We work 24-hour shifts, so... we have quite a bit of off time, but when we're there, we're on duty for 24 hours. But when we're not, you know, we're with our families and having fun.
Okay, all right. Now these, I guess, is it the drive that's going on now, and it has its final date in May? Or
Right now, we hold several events throughout the year. The one we're holding right now is our annual car raffle. Mm-hmm. And the drawing is May 2nd, mm-hmm. and we sell tickets through the end of this month.
Okay.
And May 2nd, we have our big drawing.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to become a part of this, part of what you're doing, how would they go about doing it?
Yep. Well, tickets are going fast, but they're available at all Dearborn fire stations. Mm-hmm. They're $50 each. Mm-hmm. We only sell 1,500, but the $50 ticket is your admission into the drawing party May 2nd, mm-hmm. at the Ford Performing Arts Center in Dearborn. And it includes open bar, food, entertainment, door prizes.
Oh, okay. Now, when you say it sounds like it's almost like a gala, almost, is that kind of?
Yeah, it's just a big drawing, a big party, and there's music. And mm-hmm. At 9 o'clock, we give away 25 big prizes, and the grand prize is a 2018 Chevrolet Camaro or your choice of $40,000.
Okay, now what day is this? I gotta make sure that I'm not show up.
Yeah, that's May 2nd. And we give away a lot of good prizes. Tiger tickets, Michigan football tickets, a Vegas trip, all kinds of stuff.
All right, now this is kind of, it sounds like you're doing a PR, almost like a little PR organization going on in order to get all this to come about. You know, and trying to plan the events.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, we advertise and, you know, we display the cars out in front of the firehouses. And We start selling these tickets in December, and it's just a great thing. It gets the word out as to what we're doing, and we can raise a lot of money to help the families in need and the sick children.
Now, are there other organizations that work with you to, you know, that kind of like join with you to help support it?
Oh, sure. Area businesses, residents buy tickets, the firemen buy tickets, but yeah, other service organizations like the Dearborn Good Fellows, the Dearborn Exchange Club, you know, organizations like that give us a lot of help.
Okay. Do you start planning for it as soon as the event's over? You start planning for next year?
Well, we take a little bit of a breather right after it's over, but then we start other events. We've got an annual golf outing. We do a corn roast at the Dearborn Homecoming. We have a pumpkin sale in October. So really, there's never any time to rest.
Okay, and if I'm saying it's like for firemen, you see the feast of famine. You either have, you're not working at all, or then you're working what 24. You know.
Right, right. Well, we're there for 24 hours, but yeah, 1 minute you could be sitting at the table having dinner, the next minute you're inside a burning house, and it's a great job. It's a tough job, and but it's very rewarding.
Okay. Now, you've been working, what is your position with the...
I'm a captain.
You're a captain, okay. Yeah. Meaning, no, right now, are you captain with the fire department or captain with the event?
No, I'm a captain in the fire department.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the chairman of the event.
All right, okay. Yeah. And as chairman, what does that entail? What kind of things does that entail as far as your duties and stuff?
Well, it's organizing this event, getting the advertising, putting out the word, getting the cars displayed, setting up the hall, getting everything in order, making deposits into the bank. It's just very, very entailed and takes hundreds of hours of time, which is fine with me. I enjoy it. And when we go to donate the money at like, say, Christmas time to these area burn centers and the children in the hospital, it makes it all worth it.
Okay. What have been some of the reactions of some of the children that you interact with them, and what is, you know, what do you get out of, you know?
Oh, they just love it, you know, and we take a big group when we donate the toys in our annual toy run, we call it. Mm-hmm. And we take a group of about 50 or 60 people, and just the kids, it just makes their year, you know. They're, you know, if you can imagine a kid in the hospital, it's not very fun. But when we show up, we have Santa Claus and Sparky the dog and a bunch of toys. They just love it.
And kids are like, you know, they're honest, right? There's no dress up. You know, you get the exact, and that's the benefit for you, isn't it?
Yep. We just love seeing the innocent kids helping them when they're in a time of need.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also because you see some of the causes of what has brought this, you know, back, that's more or less how it can impact you in another way. So you're working really hard from the preventive. It's not even the preventive. It's the, what word would we use? It's the outcome of some of what they have to go through, and then helping them along with it.
Right. One day we could be at work and you know, we encounter a burned kid or a sick kid, and mm-hmm. and the next day we're helping out either that kid or somebody in a similar situation. And I think that's why all of our guys work so hard to help raise the money, because we see so many bad things. We like to help these people.
Right. So you're not even I'm trying to think, it's a proactive effort.
Yes. I think if all the people could see the things that we've seen, you know, there'd be more help from the you know, they'd be more apt to donate. But we get a lot of great help, and people understand our cause. But yeah, since we see it firsthand, we're really into it.
Okay. All right. All right. No, this is Betty Daniels, and we're back from Impact. And Stephen was sharing some of the things that he has observed and has interacted with the children that gives you a sort of double satisfaction or gratification, I guess it would be a better word, of putting your efforts in. And it's almost like you got two hats. You are a fireman, and then you're also a businessman.
Right, right. Yeah, I've got to, you know, there's some politics to it where I've got to, you know, interact with people and smooth talk people, but you know, there's really not a ton of that because once I just tell them the honest story and you know, they don't really need much prodding to help us out and to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand what we're working towards.
Do you set annual goals or how you go about?
Not really money wise goals. We just we do the same events every year, and we they just happen to do good and as good or better each year. We don't really set any goals. No.
Okay, and then therefore, I know because they're in this kind of. I guess the financial situation we got a lot of nonprofits out there doing things. But one of the things I'm finding out is that when you're working from, you're kind of on your venue, coming from what your goal is, there's not really competition. It's just a matter of providing the service, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, no, there is some competition. I mean, there's, you know, like, say, for instance, you go to a restaurant and you see the change boxes on the by their cash register.
Right.
There's maybe two or three or four.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's a lot of competition. I'd say, you know, the money's spread around very good, and I think we get our fair share.
Mm-hmm.
We could always use more, you know. But, yeah, you know, there's the Dearborn Goodfellows. There's the Salvation Army. There's the Dearborn Exchange Club. There's all kinds of service organizations that are asking for money nowadays, but if you can find it in yourself to give to one of them, they're all doing some great things.
Okay. Now, do you serve, so you make your donations to specific organizations. Is it always the same organizations each year, or do you change? Like, because you mentioned Beaumont, you mentioned Detroit Receiving Hospital.
Well, we take care of certain hospitals no matter what every year, and also, we donate to some service organizations, but we also have money on hand in case something comes up, say a firefighter's family or anybody's family's house burns down.
Mm-hmm.
And they need clothes and food right away. We take care of that. Any time a family contacts us in need of anything, we help out. So we have money on hand for, you know, things that just may come up.
Okay. All right. Then I'm hearing you wear almost two hats, and a couple really is almost, depending on what the need is, that's the hat you wear. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get all kinds of different requests. I mean, we've had families in town. I've had, like, a secretary from a school call me and say, Steve, look, we have a family over here. They don't have beds, and they're sleeping on the floor in sleeping bags, so. When we find out about stuff like that, you know, we take care of it right away. You know, like that same day we had beds over there for all the kids, you know.
Okay.
So.
And now, is there an eligibility requirement or just the need? That's how you go about
it? No, it's just when we get a request, you know, it's usually from a credible, you know, person that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's really not usually from that family right to us.
Right, okay.
It's from somebody else, and we usually take care of, you know, 99.99% of the requests.
Okay. All right. They're given the sort of whoever the contact and resource person, that's your validation point.
Right. Okay. Right. Like, see, for instance, my friend Rose at the secretary at the school, if she calls me and wants something for a family, I you know, I don't even have to question it. I know it's legit. Or, you know, if my friend Pat calls me from town and says, you know, hey, I got a family that's in need. Same thing.
Okay. It can come from anywhere then.
Sure. Yeah, and then we also get people that call me directly, you know, but I kind of try and check into it.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them about their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And find out what's going on. And we usually end up helping them. And, you know, once you meet these people, you can tell that they're in need.
Okay. Now, this is a separate 501c, is that correct, from the fire department?
Right. It really, it's not part of the fire department. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're kind of affiliated with the fire department, but it's the Dearborn Firefighters.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so then you...
Because when we ask for money, when we, you know, we don't want them to think they're donating to buy fire trucks or, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And that's helpful for, I'm glad we got into the discussion, because
yeah.
When I was trying to do some research in between my whatever this virus is going around, I was kind of get, you know, caught because I would fire fires, nothing would come up, but then I would have to come in through yours. So your organization, what is the name of your organization specifically?
Dearborn Firefighters Burn Drive.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah. And so the firefighters is just the people who, the occupation of the people who work with it, but it's not just necessarily firefighters.
Right. Well, right. Like, so if you donate to us, you're donating to burned and sick kids and families in need. You're, none of your money goes to buy fire trucks or pay our salary or buy our food. Yeah.
Or help out your pension.
Yeah. Nope. None of that.
Okay. And I think back in my day, I guess I'm going to date myself, I used to know that, you know, firefighters, you had a separate, you know, depending on how your funding was for, you know, for each year, that type of thing, that there was a you know, different things specifically for firefighters. But as I'm hearing now, is that you've got a, you're really kind of becoming in the 21st century. You're, like I said, you're an entrepreneur almost.
Oh yeah. I got to go out there and ask for money and you know, yeah, no, we don't just sit around the fire station. I'm constantly thinking of you know, ways to raise money to help kids. And yeah, it's kind of like an entrepreneurial type thing for sure.
Now, do you have a staff of people who work with you, or just how does that go?
Well, we've got a burn drive committee, but you know, everybody helps out. You don't have to be on the committee. We just got everybody likes to help out and chip in. And you know, I make most of the contacts and you know, stuff like that, but everybody chips in, and we couldn't do it without everybody's help.
All right. Do you, are there times when you do community outreach or community sharing to, you know, to publicize what you're doing and that type of thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We have a Facebook page, Dearborn Firefighters Burn Drive Facebook, mm-hmm. and I get some advertising through the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, and yeah, you know, we put signage up out in front of the stations and stuff like that. And mostly it's online now, like with Facebook. I mean, yesterday I put out a plea for some help and on Facebook, and the phone just started ringing, you know, 5 minutes later. So,
okay, what was the plea?
Oh, it was just for prizes to be donated for the raffle.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
The more prizes we get donated, the less I have to buy.
All right. So now tell us about this event that's coming up in May. What is it? What's all going to be going on?
Okay. Well, the doors open at 6:30, and there's a food buffet, open bar, and there's music the whole mm-hmm. time. All the prizes are displayed. There's 50-50 raffles. And just all the excitement builds up to 9 o'clock, to when we draw the big tickets and mm-hmm. The big item. And you know, we like to thank all our sponsors at that time. And you know, we have dignitaries there, the mayor, and mm-hmm. there's usually some council people there. And
so it's almost like a bazaar type of thing, or is it?
Well, it's just like we call it like a big hall party. It's like a big hall party.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
And usually about 400 to 500 people. Yeah.
Okay, so the drawings is at what time? About what time?
9 p.m.
And the tickets are how much again?
$50 each.
Casual dress, a dress, you know.
Yep. It's a casual event, and everybody comes. It's like if you're going out for a night to watch a football game or a bar or something. It's just casual, and everybody comes and has a good time. And once the drawing's over, you're welcome to stay, but it kind of empties out after that.
I used to say, you don't have to go home, but you got to leave here.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. Yep. Okay. Which is fine.
All right. I know you said there's going to be music and that type of thing. Can you share with the name of the group? Or do you know the name of the
organization? Well, we just have a DJ. DJ Kenny Lucas. And he's from Dearborn, and he's been doing it for us for, you know, geez, 25 years.
Okay.
So we always get the same people to help, and the same DJ, the same, you know, hall, mm-hmm. everything, the same people doing the food, Park Place from Dearborn, and Capri Bakery brings the pizzas, and you know, mm-hmm. the same people every year. We couldn't do it without their help.
Okay. All right. And now you said that they have a choice of a 2018, what was the car?
Camaro
or $40,000.
Or $40,000. Yeah, your choice. Most people take the money, but you're welcome to take the car too.
Okay, like I said, I'm going to get my little ducats in order.
Yep, very good, very good.
Okay, now, you were talking, what have been some of the milestones? Now, you've been with them for how long now again? Was it you've been
21 years.
21 years. And during your, and you became a chairman when?
Oh, geez, I don't know, maybe 2006.
2006, okay. Now, during your interaction and your involvement, what are some of the milestone things that you have, or you can recall or can share or tell us about?
Well, mainly is, these guys that started the organization, when they brought it up and made it so great, and when they retired in like around 2006, 2005, 2007, that a lot of guys left that were like the backbone of this organization. People didn't know if it was going to survive, but when I took it over, I just tried to keep it going. And we've raised more money than ever each year, and we're just proud of that. And the main milestone is that it's still going.
Okay.
It's just when so many guys leave at one time, and you've got a lot of newer guys and younger guys, you don't know if the same things are going to happen, but they have. So.
Okay. Do you, can you see anything in particular that seems to have been the impetus to this continuing to go on, in addition to yourself?
I think just the long history of it and people, just the strong history of it. I think that everybody wanted to keep it going and keep supporting it. And, just didn't want it to be one of those things that died with when the guys left that started it.
Okay, and what I'm hearing is that the people you serve and the cause was your major draw, isn't that it?
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, when we give the money to these people and organizations, and give the toys and give the medical equipment and the things that they need so much, and the things that they wouldn't have without us, it's just a great feeling. And that's what makes us work so hard and get up early and stay up late and do all the work.
Okay, all right. And now, if my listening audience, Steve is just so laid back. But when you hear of all the different things that's going on, okay, now you should see this smile. I got what.
Yeah, okay. It took a while to get like that. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of, stress and stuff. And now sometimes guys at work will see me and say, hey, you're so calm about, you get the raffle coming up. You're so calm. It's like, well, it's just taking a lot of hard work to get it to where, it kind of, the tickets sell themselves, and it's just not a lot of stress as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything that you would like to see happen in the near future, that it's things that you are, as you're working with, different kinds of things, it's kind of like, do you have a little pet achievement that you want to do or something like that?
Well, I just like to, for sure, I'm only going to be on the job another 4 years. So I just like to, in that time, just make sure that I can, prepare for a nice, easy, good transition, and make sure guys are in place that can take over and keep this ball rolling, so we can keep helping these people and, forever.
Well, okay. So. All right. And if people wanted to contact you, how would they go about doing that?
They can easily just call my cell phone. I don't mind giving the number, 313-478-6761. And we've also got a Burn Drive Facebook page, and like I say, tickets are available at all Dearborn Fire Stations. If you'd like one, you can purchase one there.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, thank you very much for sharing with us. And I'll make sure that it's May 2nd.
May 2nd. Yep, it's a big day. And then after that, we take a small break, but then we get started again.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And this is Betty Daniels from Impact. I want to thank Steve from the Firefighters Burn Drive. Did I get it correct?
Yep. All perfect. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Know that you are listening to Impact WHFR on the fourth Tuesday, and right now we have online Reverend Sproul, who is in your title again. Reverend Sproul is with Hope is what again?
Yes, I'm the CEO of Hope.
Okay,
all right. For people empowerment.
Right, we have Hope. Right. Yes, we have the CEO of Hope, and then also then and Clark is?
Yes, the Director of Human Concerns.
Director of Human Services, Holmes. Okay, so we have two entities from Hope. Okay, all right. And Stephen was telling us a little bit about what he was doing with his particular responsibilities at the part of Hope. Reverend Sproul, kind of give us a little bit of an overview of Hope itself and how it evolved, and then how Stephen came into being with you.
Well, when we located to the Beachwood property from the new church, I talked with Pastor Johnson, and the vision was to turn the old church into a community center, meaning that we want to provide services for the community. And presently, the service that is going on ongoing right now is the Meals on Wheels program, which is sponsored by Tabernacle Mission Baptist Church, which they feed approximately 200 people a day, 800 people a week, and 3,000 meals a month. They do right now, present that location there. So it's a Meals on Wheels program for the seniors. Next, we have an NA program there. We have AA programs there. We have domestic violence classes there. And also, we have diaper programs where we give out diapers to young ladies in need of diapers. Mm-hmm. But we just don't give them to them. They have to, we'll give them to them too, but they have to attend our parenting classes in order to keep receiving the diapers. So we do that as well. Then we have mentoring programs where we return as citizens. Some people call it ex-offenders. I call it return as citizens because most of the person have served their time. And so when they come at home, they are a citizen of the community. So I like to refer to ex-offenders as returning citizens.
All right.
And so we provide a mentoring program for them. We do resume preparation and do referrals for those who are looking for housing, and they have stuff and use programs. We refer them out as well. So this is what we're doing now at the community center there. And moving forward, we want to do greater things. We want to offer classes like in photography and knitting classes for seniors. And also we have a gym located in the building there. And so in the near future, we hope to open it up to the community so they can come and exercise, and people in the community have access to the gym.
Okay. Now, Stephen was telling me that he is now the person that's over the human concerns. Human concerns.
Yes.
How did that evolve from Reverend Sproul, from what you were doing, and then Stephen came in for you? So how did the two of you bring this whole thing together between the two of you?
Well, what happened was Miss Gloria Whittington, who's retired at the time, and I wanted to contain the program, and I was looking for someone for the program to continue. You know, it was overwhelming for me to do that,
right,
and also operate Hope. And so in talking to Brother Clark there, he showed an interest and wanted to take over that portion of the program. And it was more like I saw him, a young man himself, I saw him to call on his life that he wanted to do that. And I told him, I said, well, this is an opportunity for you and for the youth in the community as well as Tabernacle to get involved and have an impact what we're already doing in the community there with the clothing, with the food and so forth. And so he came on board and rolled his sleeves up, and he took it and ran with it. And he shared with me his vision, what he thought he could take it to another level of what we was already doing. And so it's just been a tremendous relationship between him and I.
Okay.
And we're looking for more growth with that program.
All right. It sounds like you gave him the ball and he went over and started his own game, which was just fine with you. Is that it?
It was just fine because I'm the type of person, Sister Daniels, where when I see people, especially young people, are gifted,
mm-hmm,
talented, and want to do something, I see the call in their life. My door is always open. I've been helping young people to grow, because again, I'm not gonna be here forever.
All right.
So we don't allow the young people to come along and use their talents and gifts. And what we were trying to do, it'd be non-involved whenever the good Lord called me home, program continued to go on. And what better way to mold and shape a young person that's come along to want to do it?
All right. Do the two of you meet together to kind of bounce ideas or brainstorms and so on? And what have been some of the outcomes of those brainstorms? Stephen, you can see.
Well, we meet frequently. Him and I talk at least once a week. He got phone in person. He always sharing with me how he want to engage the community, how he want to engage other organizations to come along and work with us and to grow that. And so he always sharing his vision of where he think it could go. the possibility of involving other youth, because right now a lot of young people, especially college grads, are coming home, I mean, coming back to community, and they're looking for a chance to be involved in the community. So we're trying to open up doors so they can come alongside and invite their ideas as well, and to grow it, you know, let them be involved. You know, I think there's a problem now in the city. We're not allowing the young people the opportunity to be involved and to listen to them and let them express how they feel, and the opportunity for them to use their gifts and talent as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know Steve was just nodding his head as you were talking, Stephen. did he pick that right, or was
spot on? Yes, he was spot on. Yes. And you know, one of the biggest things too was that he's always told me, and the group that works with me, the YAM group, the Young Adult Ministry group,
okay.
That, you know, the door is wide open. You know, whatever ideas you come up with, whatever things that you want to do, let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep them in the loop, mm-hmm. and let's make it happen.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Okay. So the two of you, is almost like this, if you're working in tangent to each other.
Yes.
That type of thing. And he's allowing you to develop and to grow.
Absolutely.
Okay. What do the two of you have? I want to hear the visions that one, Reverend Sproul, you know, what's your vision? What do you see as you see him working? What kind of things do you think would be a good, what kind of things do you see happening? And then, you know, Stephen kind of like, you know, feed into that.
Yes.
Reverend Sproul, what about yourself? What kind of?
Well, what I see, the vision I have in speaking with and talking with Mr. Clark, Stephen, is that we want to empower, you know, the people to give them an opportunity to have a life-changing experience, you know, and to enhance their ability to be productive and financially and spiritually and community-wide citizens, you know. And mm-hmm. so we try to provide that platform where they can do that. And so Stephen is doing a great job with the ideals. For instance, as a prime example, is that we're trying to raise right now approximately $8,000 to redo the restroom downstairs in the community center there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen has come alongside, and the young adults come alongside for his ideals to raise money. And that's something I really needed. And so they come alongside now for his ideals to help raise money. And on first Sundays when we do our fundraisers, they all there present helping. And because we all see the same thing, there's a need.
Right.
And the need, first of all, is to get the restrooms and done in the building there so we can continue with other programs, you know. So first thing first, and they saw that, it's okay, we need to get this done. Now we're doing that. They want to do the downstairs, other areas in the building as well. So they see the vision, but they want to bring programs in there. So they know, okay, first thing first, we got to get the building, some work done inside the building. Then we can enhance other programs that we want to do. And so they see the vision. We all together, we see it, and we work together. And that's what makes the vision come to fruition, is when you can share with others, and they see it, and they join in and help it come to fruition.
Okay. Stephen, can you join in as that, you know, how you know, when you see things, you know, and how do you communicate, and how do you, you know, move on it?
Yes. So what we're trying to do in looking at the statistics for 2017, you had almost 2,000 people in city shelters, and 220 people was unsheltered, and that was done on a statistic survey by hand, Homeless Action Network of Detroit. And nationally, up to 1.5 million youth and young adults are homeless. And in Detroit alone, 1 in 5 homeless youth in Detroit are victims of human trafficking. And so I have a passion to see young people succeed,
mm-hmm.
and to move forward and to cultivate and elevate. And so what we want to do is, well, we have the clothes right now to get people going along with the clothes and doing other partnerships. But also, too, teaching young people how to be leaders, teaching people in the community that you don't have to be what your situation looks like.
All right.
You know, that there is more to you than what you see on TV, and there's more to you than what you see in these music and rap videos, that you can elevate yourself. So we want to start doing some leadership programs. We want to start doing other things where we're working and reading to the children. So the clothes is just the start.
All right.
Clothes and food is definitely a start, and that's a base. You know, so people are always going to need clothes. People are always going to need food. And we have that there. Now, let's say, okay, you have your clothes. Now we get you some Dress for Success clothes. Okay, now you need some skills to be able to go and take those clothes, to be able to apply for jobs, to be able to go give some presentations, to be able to elevate wherever you're currently at, get to the next level.
All right.
You know, so you look the part, you feel the part, and we want to move forward with that, you know, and we need some more partnerships, we need some more volunteers.
Reverend Sproul, I'm sitting there watching him and all this energy that's...
Yeah, I'm telling you. I told you he had a passion, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Okay,
and we just had a demonstration of the passion. Okay. My man started quoting statistics. He started
That's right.
And Reverend Sproul, what did you do? Say, go, go, man, go.
I just go, man, go. I'm telling you, God, I've been looking for this type of relationship, Sister Daniels, for, I know I have a great board, but I need other people to come alongside with this type of energy. You know, being a CEO, I have a staff of people that have, you know, work for me, and I got a lot going on, so I need the type of energy to keep me going. You hear energized.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay. And, you know, thought about that.
You know, and not
it
only
keeps
are we
me going as well. You know, I'm like, wow. You know. So this what happens when you sit right there, right, young people. They bring energy, you know, okay.
All
okay,
right. So, you know, all right, all right. And
I'm just so excited, you know. After being in the Hope Business this now for 7 years, I can see the labor of my fruit, you know, coming to
okay, right,
especially
right.
2018, doing great things in the community. And yes. I've always been a community person. Matter of fact, yeah, I serve as the community outreach person for the church, for Tabernacle, for the pastor there. So I'm always in community meetings and in and out of meetings, community, and with block clubs and so forth, and then meeting downtown with the mayor and so forth. But now that I have that type of energy and young people that want to get on board and we all on the same page with the vision, I can see great things happening in 2018.
Yes, and you know, it's the focus. You know, it's a part where now you can, he has a focus, but his focus is that it's a sunrise. I'll use that word. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
And right. Okay. There's a sunrise where is this, and there's lighting on these different things and opening up opportunities.
Absolutely.
All right. That type of thing. Also, we hear the focus and channeling. So it's not being, yes, it's a sunrise, but it's not just, you know, being scattered everywhere. All
correct.
Right. And
correct.
Okay. Excuse my editorializing. There I go.
I want to say, too, Sister Dan, if I may, you know, we'll be located at in West Detroit. Southwest gets everything. Our community center is in West Detroit.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I was talking with the Block Club president last night. She said, well, we cannot keep up our, they had a 501c, but for some reason they couldn't keep it up, what happened. So they asked me last night, would Hope come alongside and apply for grants to help with some of the things in the community, with Kresge Foundation, so forth. And I just had a conversation with her last night. And I said, shoot, that's why we're here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, nothing against Southwest, but Southwest always gets something. West right. Detroit doesn't have anything.
Right.
And so when I met the community and I talked about the old church being a community center, they were so thrilled that they're going to have something in the community, like as a resource center. And so they was on board with it. And they weren't Jerry and I. The community came to me and said, hey, you know, we'd like to have a gym there. We want to have classes for senior students. Like I say, you know, with the sewing and with the knitting classes and with photographer classes like that, you know, and be a resource hub in West Detroit where people can come and get the necessary resources we have there, you know. I talked about referrals early, you know. I have a lot of relationship with Covenant Care Clinic and other organizations that I can refer people to that they may need medical help. They may need help getting their driver's license and so forth like that. So I have that protecting relationship with other organizations that I can refer them to from Hope as well. So it's going to be a hub there. And we're just looking for great things in West Detroit.
All right. And, you know, that's historically the part where Tabernacle is now is on the border of what they're now calling Southwest, because a lot of parts of what is now identified as Southwest used to be West Detroit.
Yes.
All right. And because when there was a border All right, because most of the time when people say Southwest, they thought about going towards the Lincoln Park downriver, well, not downriver, but out 4th Street that way. So the Southwest has spread, and now you have these historical kinds of things going on, and it really is almost the community needs to be educated.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, you know where we are today. You know, let's, you know, that this is historically, but you know, you need to understand now where we are from where we used to be.
Yes.
And there is a deed. Okay, there is a different type of need. You just recently had a what was it? A fair where you there was people who were looking for manufacturing jobs or trainings and stuff, but that's something.
Oh, yes, the skills fair. Yes.
Right, okay. Was that something you were involved in, Stephen, or was that something that
I was involved in it with a little bit as far as helping get the word out to the community about this skills fair, to where they can come in and they can learn different trades. And they also had a record expungement that day as well, too, at that skills fair.
Okay. All right. When... Now this is different. Now, was this part of that Hope put on Reverend Sproul, or was that a combination?
No, that was done. That was done through UAW Ford and other partnerships with in the community. They the one that had been at the church there, and I have worked those with UAW Ford many times. There's other projects with Jimmy Sellers, who've been a tremendous help to the community there. You know, and so that's, they put that on, but they're doing great work there. And we
okay,
just support them. I think many times we don't support each other, you know.
Right.
Just because I'm not the head don't mean I don't support it, you know.
Right.
They support me as
right.
well. You know,
we, right.
even I do, they support it. Like, we have our community health fair, they support what I do. In return, we support what they do. It's called collaboration. Many times, people don't work together. So if you have an event and the community can benefit from it, hey, I'm going to tell the community, go over there and take advantage of a resource there. If I don't have an event, they in turn do the same to me. Hey, you know, Hope is having this. Go over there and take advantage of those resources. So that's how you grow the community. That's how you spread the word out. And that's how you the community can benefit from the affair with this.
Okay. So now if you and Stephen were looking at some type of fair, okay, where you will be opening up and letting the community know what's available, what would be a part of your community fair? If you had a similar kind of venue where, you know, they have these different things for expungement, the job training stuff, what would be your focus and how would you, put yours together?
Well, I would kind of follow a little bit what they did as well. I would just spread more or less over the Southwest Detroit and do a little bit more groundwork with a lot of people that don't have access to the internet, may not have access to the
okay,
get the word out.
All right,
many people that come to the community center down now, they don't have access to the internet, know what's going on. So sometimes you got to do the hand and feet. Hand
all
and
right.
feet and fly still work even today, even with the technology, you know.
All right, so,
so I know the population of people that's in need that may not hear about it. So those, that's the population I'll be trying to reach as well.
Okay, so now we're looking at a festival that Hope is putting on. Okay, so you would have your, Stephen would be focusing on what? Stephen, what would you be trying to help the community to get?
get more like, you know, maybe like have a health tent for them, some health screenings.
Right.
Along with like some job fairs where you have the opportunity to find employment.
All right.
And to be able to, you know, connect them with if it's something that we don't offer at Hope. Maybe somebody else wants to partner up as far as some different types of skill trades, maybe basic computer skills stuff like that.
Okay, I've got you locked into what they did.
Yes.
Okay, what about your closet? What about your Meals on Wheels? How would you let the people know about all that?
Absolutely. through flyers, word of mouth, phone calls.
Now we're talking about a festival. Okay, I'm being control freak here. All right. Okay, Reverend Sproul, we're coming up now with an idea for a festival that's going to talk about the closet, that's going to talk about the different things that you're trying to get out and do for the community. So I'm kind of like to do a little stimulation to your little creativity here.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it'd be like an open house, Sister Daniels.
Okay.
Be like a fence, like we have a computer lab there.
Mm-hmm.
People have a lab open there where they can come and take advantage of the lab.
Okay.
We showcase the gym there. We could talk about the what we're doing in the future. And they'll have some people that the instructors that are going to be teaching photography, and they're going to be doing class, have them there.
All right.
And do some demonstrations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And have some of my partners there from Covenant Care Clinic will come in, as Stephen said. Do some screening and so forth, like they have healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a good thing for the community, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some people there from job training opportunities there as well, you know.
Okay.
Let them know, okay, I don't know what skill set you're at, you know. Maybe you need a resume redone again, or you don't know how to write a resume, or you may need some interviewing skills, you know, those type of things that we can. Have on that day that will help the people, you know, get ready for jobs.
Okay. And the clothes will be open too.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now I heard this thing that you were like a department store. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the closet is a department store venue. Now in the department store, they have more than clothes.
Absolutely. We do shoes. We do jewelry. Also too, we have a furniture section. An appliance section.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently right now. I am collecting heaters for the wintertime as well. Mm-hmm. Too. So you have plenty to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We've even had some artwork
All right.
that we've given out as well too. That we've had on display.
All right.
So we've had people come in and they've gotten some clothes. They've gotten some shoes, kids' clothes, clothes for the mother, clothes for the father. They've even picked up some books,
mm-hmm.
And we've had one lady even walk out with the washer and dryer set that we helped get out for her, and we took it all the way down to her house.
All right,
and some artwork as well too.
All right, okay. So therefore, we got a new festival.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also too, we adopted Samson Weber School.
All right.
And we supplied, thanks to the donation from UNW for Jimmy Sellers, who were able to give out a lot of winter coats.
Right.
Kids down at school there, at Samson Weber School.
Mm-hmm.
And also we give out gloves. And we have a volunteer that goes up to the school and wash the uniforms. The
mm-hmm.
kids that come to school, their uniform need to be washed. We have uniforms at the school there. And our volunteer will wash the uniform by the kids in class, and they have a uniform to take back home with them.
All
and so
right.
we're very engaged with Samson Weber School. As a matter of fact, we adopted that school. So and
okay.
once a month, on the first of each month, in collaboration with Gleaners and Hope in the school, we've passed out approximately food for enough about maybe 70 families each first of the month. So that's our collaboration effort
okay.
with the Samson and Gleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month we do that, you know, as Hope does that. Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's another festival.
Oh,
okay.
yes. And we're giving out school uniforms as well, too.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So now you've got a lot of different components. You see me pushing this festival, right?
Yes.
yes. And that's a great idea. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Yes. And I will help. All right. I have
All right. And one thing, another thing that we thought about doing, too, this summer, we have to collect more couches. But what we wanted to do was do like a concert in the parking lot.
All right.
And so basically you'll come free, popcorn,
mm-hmm.
And have a concert. And then after the concert, we would love it for you to be able to, the couches that you're sitting on, you could pick them up and carry them home.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. You should have caught me because I just gave away a couple couches.
Oh, man.
I was sitting up there, had these couches, and they couldn't find it. So I said, okay. All right. So the thing is then getting the word out.
Yes, getting the word out, yes.
And
getting donations as well.
Yeah, and I want to tell you right now, I really appreciate you giving this opportunity to come on the air to share with the audience, with your audience, what we're doing in the community, what Hope is doing, and how we trying to move things forward and what we're trying and share our vision of what we're doing in 2018 as well. So I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, and then it's Raymond Sproul, contact number for Hope. What is that contact number for them?
Okay, the contact number is 313-897-5503.
Okay, and when they do this, is that a direct line into Hope, or do they have to ask?
Yeah, that's a direct line right into Hope.
Okay, all right. Yes. Okay, and is there any particular time or day that they can leave a call for
they
you?
They can call. We open from 9 until 3, Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. They can call 24 hours, any time, and leave on a voicemail.
Okay, okay.
And we always checking our voicemail during the course of the day because we have a partnership with United Way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll call, they'll refer us. A family get burned out, in need of food or whatever, and then they will call us. So we always checking our voicemail because we never know what family may need. You know, financially can't do it 1 o'clock in the morning, but we'd be aware the next morning. They leave a contact number, and we will call them back and do what we can for that particular family that may get burned out or just lost. Items, but we're trying to help them as well.
Something came to mind. Now, does Hope have a time or when the community can come and meet with you, or is it just more or less getting in a call and then you will set up a time? You know, do you have a...
They call instead of a time. Yeah, they call me, and then we could set up a time, and then we'd be glad to meet with them.
Okay. Currently now, Stephen, you're over the human services, so the clothes closet, the style...
Freestyle, yes.
Okay, freestyle. Is that all that you do, or is it something else that you do?
That's where we started. That's where we came in. That was the ground level with the clothes, freestyle stylist clothes for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then we expanded out to the pantry.
Right.
So our next move is to, after we get these bathrooms renovated, to start some computer programs.
Right.
Maybe some exercise classes and things like that. So we're definitely wanting to expand. I've been a part of Hope now over there at Beachwood since January 2017.
Okay.
So we're definitely trying to move. We've done a lot of renovations, lot of renovations. So, and we still have a lot of ways to go. So, so yes, we're definitely looking for some more volunteers.
All right. And sounds like they can call it. Now, Stephen gave a number, which was
313-332-8161, and that's my cell phone. That's the direct line.
Okay, and that's Stephen Clark's cell phone number. Yes. Okay, but if they contacted Hope, which is 313 Ravensboro
897-5503.
All right, they will be able to get in touch with just working with Hope on different ideas and things like that.
Yes,
What type
of what we're doing in the process? He'll have his own office, the young adults, you know, they had their own office there.
Right.
In fact, we just got to move to another spot. We moved to another office. They're going to listen to their office.
All right.
And hopefully, if financially, they probably have their own phone.
All right.
But right now, financially, I use the same phone.
All right. Okay. So they can contact Reverend Sproul, who is the CEO or CEO?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. And find out all the different types of things that fall under Hope. And if they want to specifically work with the young adult ministry,
yes,
then they would contact Stephen Clark.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Those are two different components. All right.
Oh, yes.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that you are starting off with meeting a need, and then as different things grow, you address that need.
Absolutely. Yes. I was doing like a dual type thing. I was over the young adult ministry and doing the director of human concerns with Hope. Since then, we've actually trained up some other young adults to take over the ministry. Sister Sakina Shabazz is the new president, and Thomas Collins is the face of the young adults. So now I'm going to be doing Hope full-time and working more with youth in the community. With the young adults, it's out of high school 18 to 35, and the youth is 13 to in high school 18.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And program by Stephen, what kind of things are you looking at?
As far as the programs go, we were working on a program we want to start in March as a pilot.
Right.
It's called S2G, Skills to Grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to teach a lot of young adults and also youth different things like creating a budget.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be working with Sister Tamara White. We're going to be doing like basic PowerPoint skills.
Okay.
Making spreadsheets and teaching them how to be able to give presentations.
All right.
As
okay.
well.
Okay. Yes. All right. Reverend Sproul, that meet with your expectations?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm so excited about it. You know, again, you know, just going to community, meeting needs of the community, staying with our mission, you know, to empower people in the community to change from brokenness to wholeness. So
okay.
it's about, making people whole again, you know, and providing those services, you know. And so that's what I'm going to say. I'm a people person. And so I'm just excited about people, you know, being able to be a part of that change, you know, in a person's life, you know, to get involved and to
okay,
be and a change agent, you know. And so that's what I'm excited about.
So to correct me if I'm not, it's almost as if he is making the hope, expanded the comprehensive outreach. Is that a good way of looking at that?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
okay. Right.
All
that's right.
Something that we've been wanting to do for a while. You know, sometimes this is, you know, it's kind of what we do. I always share with people, I said, you have to be sure that you call to do this kind of work, because it's hard work. And if you're not called to do it, you'll quit, you'll walk away, you know. And I have had my days where I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, I ask myself, why am I, you know. And then, but God always sends you those people that you need, you mm-hmm. know. So. And so one thing I learned from my mentor, he passed on now, Dr. Frank G. Sampson, was he always shared with me and other ministers that, you know, don't focus on the money. Focus on the work.
Okay.
And God will send the money. And
all
that
right.
is true. And it's 7 years, and sometimes I told my office manager, Ms. Mona Lawrence, I said, I don't know how we're going to make it this money. But out of clear blue sky, someone will send a check.
All
and
right.
they pay all our bills, so we've been surviving this way for 7 years, you know.
All right.
And so, again, what my mentor taught me, I stay with it, and I don't focus on the money. I focus on the work. Yes, I do need the money. I need the support. But the main thing, if you stay focused on the work, the money will come. I'm a witness to that.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Stephen, is Reverend Sproul your mentor?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Another individual over there as well, Reverend Terry Robinson,
all right.
Is also another one of my mentors. And these guys, I've known these guys pretty much all my life. So, you know, I'm not going to say how old I am, but
hey, listen, we definitely were not going to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you
can't,
you can't tell my age. That's right. That's right.
Hush.
Yes. Yes. You know, and I've learned too that, you know, when I was first doing the ministry, as far as being over the youth and young adults, when we talked to a lot of other young adults, one of the disconnects was, oh, I can't be a part of that because I don't go to Tabernacle, or I can't be a part because I have a different church home, or I'm not in church right now. And so one of the things that we've been able to do with Hope is that it doesn't matter. If you don't have to be a member of Tabernacle.
Right.
You don't have to be affiliated with Tabernacle to be a part of Hope.
Right.
And to do things in the community. And since we've been doing that, we've had a lot more young adults wanting to be a part of. And so some of our leaders, like Sister Brittany Darnell and Brother Maceo, they've been able to reach out to others and bring
right.
them in as well too.
Okay.
So yeah. So it doesn't have to be, you know. Let's move aside the barriers.
Okay.
You know, and focus on the community.
All right.
And building up our community together.
Right.
You know. There's no prerequisites. There's no initiations. You just have to have a willing heart and to be able to come in, roll up your sleeves, and let's get down to work.
All right. Okay. Reverend Sproul, could he have said it any better?
I couldn't say anything about it. He's not on yet. Hope is, you know, it's wide open to, you know, it's about the community. It's not about, okay, what denomination you are, what church you belong to. We're not looking at that. We're looking at to better our community. And I just want to say, too, Sister, you know, many times we look for the mayor and people from downtown to do things. We have to, in the community, roll our sleeves up and do what we can for ourselves. If downtown come along and help out, fine. If not, again, we have to do it. I share people all the time, listen, I can't do the whole Detroit, but I can do my square. In other words, I can
all
work
right.
in the community where the community is located at.
Right.
I can do that. I
okay.
can't do the whole Detroit,
okay.
but I can do my part.
Okay.
You know, so if I
all
do
right.
my part and the other people do their part, then we have a community. We can change the community.
Okay. Stephen, you had some notes there. Have we covered everything that you wanted to get to let us know about?
I also wanted to put out there that... you know, if you have skills, and you sit on your skills and just use your skills for your job, that doesn't do anything for the next generation behind you. You know, yes, I do have skills that I get paid for, but I also use my skills for serving in the community as well, too, because everybody's had some help along the way.
Right.
You know, and so it's our turn. It's time for millennials and Generation X and Generation Z. It's time to step up and say, what am I going to do for the community? Do you have website skills? We need those. Do you have people skills? We need those. Do you have fashion sense? We need those. You know, so whatever you have, don't think for 1 second that you cannot be used. We can use whatever you have. If you have culinary skills, hey, we have a soup kitchen. People will love to see your smiling face. You know, so no matter what you have to offer, bring it.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And also, I'm Miss Tuesday. I forgot about our bakery. Our bakery serves a for-profit. Our nonprofit. So once a week we bake, and we got a partnership with the Farmers Market in Southfield, starting in, I think it's probably around April. From April to October, we sell our products at the Farmers Market in Southfield. So we've been doing that for the last 6 years. So we have a bakery there, and the bakery design, like I said, is a for-profit, a nonprofit. And so I work with also with returning citizens who have desire to learn how to bake, to learn how, and give them a skill. And we pay them, of course, you get paid.
Right.
And so if they want to learn how to bake or teach them how to bake, it's a small bakery, but it gives us some skills and give them an opportunity to make some money and also put in a resume. Since I've been home, I've been working at Hope Bakery here. You know, I've got some skills now. And they can go into a much bigger, larger bakery. You know, so they got some skills, you know.
All right.
And so that's the avenue that we use to help our returning citizens when they come home as well.
All right, okay. So therefore, we've got the freestyle, we've got the bakery, we've got the Meals on Wheels, we've got, what else do I have? I tell you what, what's the telephone number again?
313-897-5503.
Okay, and the best way I think of the community is that your acronym stands HOPE. So if you need HOPE, call HOPE, and then if you don't have the answer, they'll send you to who's on it does have the answer, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right, Reverend Spruill, is there anything else that we have not mentioned? You mentioned the bakery. Anything else that you wanted to get out there to the community?
I think we covered everything. Again, support us. You know, we're there. It's the community is brand new. We just opening up. Again, the programs I mentioned that we're doing presently, we will do more programs. We are there for the community. It's called Hope Community Center. And so we are looking forward to doing great things in the community. And I know that they actually talked with the Black Club president and other people in the community excited about it. And so we just ready to roll our sleeves up and bring some change about in the community, you know, bring some hope to the community.
All right. Well, then I want to thank you both for being a part of Impact for this fourth Tuesday and look forward to talking to you again. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
All right. Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener supported, non-commercial radio.
And dolls, you are at the malt shop with their